everyone, and I wanted to welcome you back to New Consciousness, New World. I hope your weekend was good, and, you know, we have a guest speaker today, a wonderful producer, author, also spiritual advocate, and basically he is going to provide us today with the opportunity to, if someone calls in, he will be happy to work with you in regards to, you know, working through an issue that you might have. And he also has a beautiful website. It's called, it's a very interesting name, abithya.com. And in his website, and also he's on Facebook, in his website he talks a little bit about his specific work. And I just wanted to say that I've had the opportunity of talking with Jefferson, and he's an incredible person that I'm really, really happy to have on our show. Again, you can see his profile on Facebook, and his website is Abithya. I'll spell that for you. A as in apple, B as in boy, E as in Edwards, T as in Tom, H as in happy, I as in interesting, A as in apple.com. Jefferson, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Because I don't think I've done really justice to you know what you do. I know you have some interesting techniques for working with people and working their challenges and all of that. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Let's see. It involves a lot of different modalities from what people, you know, may know or don't know. I have been in this journey since I was young. I've gone to various different, you know, seminars and whatever else. I've, you know, investigated the similarities between, you know, Landmark and Est. And, you know, I would read Siddhartha when I was a little boy, you know, Hermann Hesse. And I was a very big fan of Plato and, you know, Socrates and all these thoughts and big thinkers that were delving into, you know, sort of the secrets behind the human existence. And I, you know, sort of accumulated all the information and found what was interesting for me, and then combined it with what, you know, what I brought in for myself to help not only myself grow and evolve and discover more about myself, but also others. And it involves energy work. It involves, you know, removing blocks and patterns. It, you know, what is it coming from, the questions of what are we really? And, you know, everyone knows we're energy, and how does energy work? And what are the basic, you know, formalities between energy and the human body? And, you know, so it's sort of over a 38-year, you know, investigation, I've found, you know, what I feel works, and I've seen works, and I've worked with people that can testify to it. It's not something you'd find anywhere in a textbook or anything, because it's sort of something that evolved into itself. I find myself looking at it every day and going, you know, what an interesting and beautiful situation that's occurred that, you know, who would have thought? And so, you know, that it delves around that the answers are inside you, and how do you get to those answers? You know, what is that concept, and what does it mean to be your true self? You know, I mean, you know, people spit it out all the time. You know, you hear in different modalities, you know, it's about your true self. And, you know, I wanted to know, what does that mean exactly? And in that question, boy, did I find the answers. And so I felt, you know, if I could help people touch themselves and link up to their diagram, so to speak, of what they are inside, they'd live a much more easy and elegant and graceful lifestyle, because they'd be being them. And so I hope I've answered your question. I mean, I've tried to be as thorough as possible.
Yeah. Well, again, I just wanted to repeat, this is Jefferson Langley, and he does a lot of spiritual and energy work. He's also an author and a producer. So one of the interesting things that I just heard you say, Jefferson, is the fact that you help people to go within, because the answer is within us. And that's a very interesting thing, because most of the time we're too busy looking outside of ourselves for the answers.
Right, which kind of couples with what I'm a firm knower of, and, you know, is part of the advocacy that I'm, you know, helping perpetuate is that it's the marriage between the information inside of us that we brought in that makes up who we are, and the relationship with the outside world on how it projects into the universal, what we call, you know, mirror, and how we take in that information to, you know, match that information up. So, for instance, if I'm, you know, running an energy that I'm unaware of, and someone comes up to me and says, you know, you seem angry today, right? Well, I would look with, the first thing I would do was to go, I accept that information coming back to me because I see it as something that was methodically placed there in order for me to see myself. And therefore, I go back within and say, what is the anger that I'm not aware of that this person has, you know, pointed out in me? And then you get into all the other dynamics of what I, you know, of the modalities that I use in order for someone to get to the truth of the matter about what that anger would be. So it is going within, but it's also looking at the outside world and saying, what is it about the outside world that, even in the positive, no, you look like you're, you know, you look like you're having a great day. Yes, thank you. Validation, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out what it is inside me that's projecting that, and expand on that.
Basically, it's based on the energy vibration that we're holding and how that attracts, based on our inner self, how that attracts our surroundings or environment, our friends, our relations, our work even. So, yeah, right. And that's a very interesting point. I keep relating that, the fact that we are the active participants in the creation of our world. And how would you respond to that in regards to what we attract?
Well, let's see. I mean, the word attract is still... You know, I'm still in debate about that. You know,
okay.
The perspective that I have is that, you know, we're living in a 98% dark matter vacuum, and with that goes, you know, the canvas that it's presenting to us is basically blank. So I personally am more interested in the concept of what we're projecting, because it's, to me, it's a reveal rather than a pulling in of something. Everything is already here with us. It's what we're not allowing ourselves to see and know and accept that has been sort of the veil that's been dropped over us. You know, it's almost like we're walking around pulling up the curtain in front of ourselves so that our eyes will digest what it is that we're wanting to show ourselves. And it just happens to be there needs to be someone there to say it or someone there to show it. Or, but, you know, part of what, you know, my journey has been is to investigate that type of concept. Are we really just in this invisible, you know, holographic canvas that basically we shoot out a message from our inner being that hits that canvas and paints itself and disappears as we accept it, if that makes sense?
So it's like a reflection, basically, of ourselves.
Right. It's a reflection of ourselves. And, you know, science has talked about it, that it's light and shadows bouncing off of itself that's creating all of this. And, you know, the whole concept about, you know, the divine observer and we're here to observe things is my belief that it is true, but I also believe we've forgotten that, as you said, we are participants. We are involved in the way the car is driving. And I don't believe life is happening upon us. I believe it's happening because of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for something to be attracted means that it already has to be that way in order for it to come in. And I believe, you know, and I believe that it's only happening as we do it.
Yeah. I find it very interesting that for most of us, when we do something that's very successful, we're so good at taking credit for it. But,
oh, absolutely.
But when the opposite happens, we're looking around for someone to blame, you know? We don't want to take responsibility when it's, you know.
Right. And yet what's interesting, the value in taking responsibility for that one can tend to be very strong, because you release the judgment and that energetic, you know, perspective that says to itself, there's something wrong with what happened. Mm-hmm. And you know, when, you know, humans will forever continue until they get real with themselves completely, live in a facade that they are only supposed to be right. And, you know, that's man-made, right, wrong, negative, positive. That's all man-made. It just is what it is, and then we get to label it for what we want it to be. And you know, when you start to get into that perspective, it I've seen how it works with people, and you know, it brings in a tremendous amount of freedom, because we're not being driven by this energy that tells us there's something wrong or something right.
Okay. Would you say then that, in a way, your technique helps us to lift up the veil and see more clearly where we come from, where
yes.
we're going?
Hmm? Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. It is virtually that type of concept. You know, I look at it like, you know, there's something sitting there, and I've put a cup over it for myself, and I don't want to lift that cup. So I bring in Jefferson, and Jefferson goes, I tell you what, I'll lift the cup, and I'll be here with you when you realize what was under that cup. But because the anticipation from the human standpoint is in so much fear of what's going to be under that cup is going to be negative, they'd rather not lift the cup at all. And to me, I say, lift the cup, accept what it is, take the power back from it, and get in courage about life, and move on. There's much more cups to lift, and there's many more things to discover. And I just feel that the lack of knowledge of self has sort of perpetuated this distance with ourselves.
Yes, I agree. And another thing you said, which really touched home when you said it, was, we're looking for answers, and it helps to find answers. And it's true. I mean, in the Bible, it says that seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be answered. So,
right.
I mean, that sounds really, you know, right up the same path and with the same intent.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, ask yourself and you'll tell you if you really want to hear the answer. And, you know, seek, and you will find it because you brought it all with you. It's that lack of relationship with self that creates this, you know, I almost look at it like a metaphor as this. We're almost distant pen pals with ourselves, writing ourselves letters that take forever to get to each other. And if you bring that space close and tight up against itself, it'll create a synergy that, you know, time will almost become irrelevant because you're moving so quickly with yourself, and the honesty and the truth is so blatantly in front of you because you want it to be. You almost create this wedge where everything that is that doesn't need to be part of that goes around you. So, I mean, you know, the Bible is full of metaphors that, you know, we live today, and they lived even before the Bible. You know, I mean, they've talked about this for millennia.
Yes. I think the goal is ultimately the same, and that's where we're moving towards. We're moving towards transcending space-time and transcending the separateness that prevents us from recognizing our divinity, that prevents us from becoming our full potential selves. And I find that a lot of times we get so caught up in the world around us, and we forget to go inside to connect with our divine self, and then bring that divineness out. And it's really our goal sometimes seem to be in going in the right path, but because we're not connecting with that inner part of ourselves, they're often not. And when we reach them, we find that we're not really happy with the outcome.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Well, with regards to being happy with an outcome, I mean, that, you know, I've dealt with that quite a bit with clients or friends or just people I pass on the street every day. Is, you know, to be happy with an outcome means you'd have to be happy with self, because you would be validating yourself no matter what happens that it's exactly what you wanted to happen because of your learning. And, you know, it's almost like you're in this program where you're being a master of life, of being a human, and you're in a struggle with it because you don't want to admit to yourself that you're just that great at it.
Yeah.
And you know, and the master skill that you need to, you know, to be a human being takes a tremendous amount of skill.
Commitment as well.
Absolutely. And it's actually a very simple concept. If you look at yourself all the time, you won't have to look anywhere else because it's all with you. It all has to do with you. It all has to do with us. As much as, you know, we want to get pushed out of that perspective, it still will always come back to, you know, when are we going to get real with ourselves? You know, we can blame global warming and everything else, but at the end of the day, we're all going to have to look at ourselves in the mirror on a mass scale and say, we did this, we did it together, and by taking that responsibility means we have a say-so on how to change it.
Right.
It's because, you know, it's the syndrome, it's because of, has plagued humanity forever. You know, oh, that's because of so-and-so. Oh, but that's because of that situation. And, you know, I say, you know, we look at ourselves sooner rather than later.
Right. I think it's a failure to take responsibility for ourselves. We often look at, for example, the politician or the economist or the companies that employ people, or we look at our families or our friends, and we look to them for responsibility, when in reality, we're not being responsible. We're expecting someone else outside of ourselves, when the change really starts within us.
Right. How can you have a say-so of where the car is going if you're not behind the steering wheel?
That's right.
No, I mean, it's brilliant. I want to sit in the passenger seat and tell everyone where to go and how to do it and judge how they're doing it, and tell them it's wrong, tell them I don't agree and all that stuff. But I won't get behind the steering wheel of myself and go do what I need to do because I'm too concerned about everybody else, because that's a great excuse for me to not do my thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that, not to point fingers, because I have to say I'm just as guilty as the next person. But it's so much easier to give advice than to actually act upon it.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's so much easier.
Right. Oh, and think about the concept. I'm going to give you advice on how you should do it. But I want you to listen to my advice even though I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes no sense. The reason clients come to me is because they see me doing it. I do it all day long, every day. Everything that comes into my reality is all by my creation. It's all for me to see myself, learn what comes from it, lift myself up, be advanced, empower myself, you know, let go of all the energy that says be afraid. All that it's, I'm here to evolve. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in any of interest to figure out what everybody else is doing and why they're doing it, and, you know, that's their job.
Right.
But as far as advice goes, I mean, to me, you know, give yourself your own advice and let everybody do what they need to do for themselves.
And learn to respect and accept and not judge the decisions that other people make, because we don't get to see the whole picture from their perspective or from their point of view or from their shoes.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know all the information, but I'm going to give you advice because I don't like the way you're doing it. Well, okay, I tell you what, how about you get all the information, and then you'll find out why I did it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you're Jefferson Langley. I thought I was. You see what I mean? And so when people come to me, I'm here to help them be Barbara Smith to the fullest, not based on my opinion, based on her opinion on what's revealed to her in the session for her own steps and her own knowledge so that she walks away being able to do it herself. I mean, you talk about Jesus and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, he taught them how to fish because he said, I want to walk away so that you know how to do it yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm not here, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to remind our audience that you will be doing the last 10, 15 minutes of the show. You will be doing a work on of a lucky individual who can call in. And I was just going to mention the numbers to call in. One, you can go to www.bbsradio.com and click on Station 1. It will bring you to the live show, and it will provide you with all the numbers. But I'd like to just mention a couple of them so that you can call in if you'd like. It's the main number, and for those who are not local, it's 888-627-6008. That's for the U.S. and Canada. And then you have the local number, 530-327-7602. There are more numbers to call, but those are the two main numbers. So if you would like to be the lucky person who Jefferson gets to work on towards the end of the show, you can call one of those numbers. And one of the things I'd like to ask you, Jefferson, is as spiritual beings, as I was talking to your assistant earlier today, we were talking about how as spiritual beings, it's not about competing with each other, but helping each other out and supporting each other so that we can do a better job, because we're all participants in this growth. We're all given a specific piece of the puzzle or a specific aspect to our responsibilities, to our jobs, to our commitment. And I was trying to figure out, there's a whole bunch of modalities out there for healing. What would you say is specifically different about your modality of work as opposed to what another person is doing?
What's different? Well, first of all,
what would you say would be the key difference or the most outstanding aspect of what you do?
Well, it's two things. One is you know, my life experience based on where I've come from, what I've seen, where I've been, what I'm doing. That coupled with the types of modalities that I've been around and the information I brought in. So, for instance, I'm able to dissect and punch into a situation that someone's dealing with and help them delve into the real perspective, which is the energy of it all. Thoughts are just delivery systems for the energy to tell us where we're at. You know, actions are just delivery systems for us to see where we're at on an energy level. And the closer and more in sync you get with the energy that you are, whether it's positive or negative in your brain, the more you will be living the fullest extent of what you're here to do. And so I get you partnered up with your own energy fields so that it's not happening to you. You're actually affecting the energy that you are. It's almost for you to be in. I mean, you don't just drive to a gas station and just wait for someone to come up and go, here, let me put fuel in your car. You go up and you pick a specific fuel, you go and pump the gas, you put it in your car, and you know exactly what that gas is going to do, and it's going to make that car move. Well, I say, get in touch with the gas that you are, which is the energy that you're made up of, and fuel your car with the most positive energy that you are. Now, how do you do that? Well, by what I do is I help you get in touch with that so that you can decide which energies are working for you and which aren't. They're all working, but are they working for your highest good and all those around you? Does that make sense?
However, there's another aspect I have to say, you know, through my own personal experience as well.
Okay.
Sometimes you're too close to the problem.
Yeah. Of course.
That's why it's easy to give advice, because you're not emotionally, most of the time you're not emotionally involved.
Right.
However, when you're emotionally involved, it can be very difficult. And even when you're providing feedback, there are times when you're still not getting the picture.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you can train yourself to not get emotionally involved about yourself.
Repeat that one more time.
You can train yourself to not get emotionally involved about yourself.
Okay, that's a good point.
You can shift your systems to where they don't tell you things in order for you to be addicted to the emotional space. See, the emotions are here for us to understand how we feel about a subject. What happened was is that we started to thrive on them and use them as stepping stones rather than stepping on our own information and catapulting ourselves off of the truth. And so when you're feeling a negative emotion, you're out of your own truth. That's all it was supposed to do.
A negative emotion, yes. But however, a positive emotion can be an extremely powerful resource.
Absolutely. But if you come from a neutrality, you're not being influenced by the emotional space that's telling you to do something for another reason other than your truth. It's like if I go I make movies, I go into the movie business to make movies because I want to feel awesome about myself. So what happens when I'm not feeling awesome about myself? What happens when I'm not making a movie at that time? I don't get to feel awesome about myself? So the emotion would be driving it rather than I got into the film business to feel fulfilled and to help change the world and contribute to the fullest level of my beingness. That can always be there even when I'm not making a movie.
Right.
So it's almost like emotionally addicted to the high of the charge.
Well, a lot of people are. We all get caught up in that charge.
Absolutely.
I think that would be similar to an adrenaline junkie. It's not the same thing.
It is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. So, see, what happens is that when that emotion's not there, we feel loss. We feel lack. And so then we run around doing things looking for the high rather than being ourselves, doing what we need to do for ourselves and what we want to do, and feeling the fulfillment of life no matter where we are.
Right.
So it's like a billionaire not having money. Is he going to still feel like a billionaire?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he have to have the billions to go, okay, I'm good?
Right. Well, fulfillment, I think, is more of a state of mind.
Yeah, it's a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully filled with myself all the time. In any situation, I'm able to look at myself and say, I feel great about me no matter where I'm at.
Now, the techniques you use, Jefferson,
Yes.
when you provide or when you teach them, whether it be in a workshop or individually,
yes.
Obviously the most important aspect is a lot of times people think that by just coming to you, their problems are going to be solved. But I think would it be safe to say, or I would say it would be proper to say that you can teach them what they need to do. But in reality, after that, they also have to be proactive in doing it on a regular basis. Consistency and persistence is also the key to that healing and to that connecting in with the divinity and making yourself the powerful being that you're intended to be. Could you go into that a little bit more?
Correct. My view of teaching is this. I'm helping you help yourself and connect with yourself on how you do it. I can get a room full of 10 fishermen, and they're all going to cast line out into the water in a different way because they have a different perspective on how they do it. I'm not here to teach you to do it like Bob and Sally and Chrissy and Mary. I'm here to teach you how to do it like you do it. And so I ask particular questions. I say hello to them about particular things that I see in them that they're unaware of. It would not be the same, it wouldn't be the same approach that I'd go to over to another client because it's a completely different human being with a different life plan, a different life design inside. They have a different kind of heart. They have a different kind of passion. They have a different kind of drive. why would I teach Mary like Sally? I mean, that makes no sense. So I help Sally understand how Sally works from the inside out so that Sally goes, I feel connected to myself and I know how I do it and I'm going to do it my way. That's where advice gets into this really dark arena, because how can someone give me advice about how I do it unless they're helping me figure out how I do it? It's what happens in the session is this. When I do what I do, they come to their own conclusions about how they do it, and then they walk away going, now I know. I pick up a pencil this way because this is the way I do it. Why would I come to someone and say, no, that's not the right way. Here's how you should write. That makes, to me, is just illogical.
Right.
But if I help them empower themselves in their own information, they'll always feel complete and supported by themselves. It's almost like they have an invisible partner inside them.
Right. That's true. And that brings us to another question. Oftentimes, when we learn a variety of techniques for healing, and when we try to connect to our divinity, we kind of conclude or believe that from this point on, our life is going to be worry-free. And sometimes we, as spiritual growing beings, can be very hard on ourselves when we see that we haven't accomplished or that we are not as perfect as we should be. Sometimes our expectations when we learn these techniques can be a little bit far-fetched or out there on a limb, and almost expecting perfection from ourselves. And that can sometimes sabotage the ability to grow, because you're saying, I'm not getting results. And we expect that perfection. So what would you say to the audience that is it okay that it's all right that we are going to continue to find challenges, that we're not, as spiritual beings, we're not expected to be perfect all the time?
Right.
That's something that I find myself sometimes struggling with. When you find a difficult moment and you say, I'm a spiritual teacher. I've been learning and been doing these techniques for years. Yet I feel like I'm failing because I have moments where I find myself still falling into the darkness, still falling into the chaos. That for somehow I'm reflecting on myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So could you give us a little bit of insight from your perspective as a spiritual teacher, and also as what we should be expecting as human beings? Because people sometimes say, how can you be a spiritual teacher when you're at this moment you're more messed up than I am?
Right. Right, which is interesting.
Yes.
For someone to say you're more messed up than I am would be for them to look at themselves and say, why do I feel that way about myself?
Yeah.
There you can't get around universal law, and universal law is this: that which is like unto itself reflects. So the job of that human being who would say you're more messed up than I am would be for them to walk away going, now why would I say that, and what am I trying to tell that to myself? What am I trying to tell myself about myself in that statement? That means to me that they think about themselves in that way. I'm messed up, and therefore I see everything around me as messed up. There's a saying I heard, which is brilliant, from a spiritual teacher that I went to. If you look at life with a hammer, all you'll see is nails. Right? So
interesting statement.
Right. You'll go, it's all messed up because I feel messed up, and because I feel messed up, that means everything must be messed up, because how can anybody be better than me? Because I'm messed up. Right? And so I would work with that person about figuring out what the energy is in their space that's telling them they're messed up. And then they'll stop having that perspective that everything is messed up because of the drive to be perfect, because they must have some kind of programming in their space that says anything less than perfect is nothing. And I don't know about you, but I look at myself every day, and I'm fascinated how perfect it is, because for all these limbs and fingers and brain and heart and bloodstreams and everything to work so synergistically, amazingly perfect, so to speak, to run this human body is pretty fascinating. You know, we don't have 17 legs, we have two. It's like perfectly designed. Two arms, two legs, five fingers, five toes. I mean, it's very uniformed. And what we wanted to do was to insert a spiritual vibe into this body and learn how to operate this machine at a very high level. So anything that deals with the P word, as I say, the perfect word, is just for us to understand, how do we accept that everything is exactly perfect and release the worry that it has to be a certain way, or it should have been this, it could have been this, and it would have been this way, and say, the universe has been here for billions of years. We haven't. It's thrived without us, and now we're here thriving inside of it. Should we participate and contribute in a harmonious way, by empowering ourselves, by asking the right questions of ourselves to inform us who we are? Or should we be in constant disharmony with the universe and telling it it's wrong, it's bad, it messed up, it can't be this way, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it? Right? I say I chose to be the first one. Anytime I hit any kind of block in myself, and I'm always working on myself, and I will continue to work on myself every day and learn more and discover more and adventure more in the world of Jefferson Langley, I will always come back to the very same thing. I'm here to discover and reveal to myself what and who Jefferson Langley is. Even if it's me going, he's scared. Okay, great. Why? Because of this. Awesome. I realize that now I know why it's that way, and now I have a say-so on how to change it, and how would I really want it? Well, I'd want Jefferson to be encouraged. Why? Because I'd want him to be encouraged the fact that he's doing what he needs to do to contribute to life, to uplift the world around him and help shift and change, to own who he is and be empowered that he's here for a very specific reason, and the more he gets out of his own way, the more that reason occurs. It's not hard. We make it hard because we can't have the fact that it's just that easy. You know, we've been told and programmed for thousands of years, it's hard, it's difficult, things are messed up, you shouldn't like this, why is it this way? God, if it was another way, it would probably be better. You know, the greener pasture syndrome has plagued humanity for millennia. But
I have to say that the point that you made is I think the point that I was going after, and that is that it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to not be perfect, as long as you don't allow that to rule and control your behavior.
Correct.
Because oftentimes we say, how can I be doing this? How can God choose me when I have all these faults? And maybe it's precisely because you are being called to be a spiritual person. You are being called to grow spiritually, and it's not an easy task. I was just mentioning this earlier to a friend of mine, that like a steel, the best steel in the world is the most tempered, the most tested, the most molded, and it makes the best sword, because it's been through so much. And in a way, we're kind of like that steel. We're being tested. We're being tempered. And the ones that are the challenge the most are also given the most responsibility. And you have to be ready for that responsibility.
Absolutely. The amount of responsibility I took on to do what I'm doing and have this conversation with you and face all the judgment, face all the people saying, I don't like what you're doing, face all the situations of you know, assessing Jefferson Langley's lifestyle and why he's doing it the way he's doing it and all that stuff, I can just say one thing back to them. Why are you trying to live Jefferson Langley's life when you should be living your own? Do you know what I mean? So as far as being perfect and as far as being called to do something with major responsibility, yeah, of course. But the interesting thing about what I'm doing is that I took on this challenge so to speak. But I mean, that word is, you know, we could debate about that word for decades. But I took on this journey because I wanted to.
Yeah.
I did it consciously. I didn't find myself 50 years later going, God, who would have thought? Every single step I've taken has been completely conscious, has been exactly what I wanted to do, and I did it exactly the way that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And by being in that place, I'll always feel a part of something grander. I'll always be a part of something bigger. My life will always have meaning, and it will always be fulfilled because I'm doing it consciously, and I did it because I wanted to, because I cared about what was going on here.
Well, you're being true to yourself, and I think that's the most fulfilling aspect of what we can do. Now, you brought up another topic it was very interesting that you brought it up, because I think it's a very important key point. And that was that, you're having to put yourself out on a limb in front of people, talking about things that are very personal, that are very intimate, that normally most people don't discuss publicly because they're afraid of the response. And there was a comment in something I was reading or watching the other day that said, you know, when you break ground, when you develop something new, for example, the inventors, the Einsteins of the world, you were talking about the great philosophers, which I've also had the wonderful opportunity to study when I was in high school. All these wonderful people, a lot of them that we now admire and greatly respect were ostracized and were criticized and they were belittled in their time, because they were breaking new ground. And this thing I was reading, it was stating that when you do, you're the first to change the game, per se. You're going to get burned because people are afraid for themselves. They're afraid to make change. They're used to their pattern of behavior. And I think that's probably one of the things we have, and that's probably where your work is so effective. It's one of the hardest things to break. The pattern.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we never can grow. We would be doing the same thing we were in the Middle Ages, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And yet you absolutely hit it right on the needle point. And all that, you know, all the greats who have been ostracized and everything, and am I breaking down? Absolutely. Is there anybody else on the planet that does what I do? Absolutely not. Without question, I'm breaking ground, and what I'm teaching and helping people do is for them to break ground for themselves. This should be a planet of 7 billion groundbreakers, all doing it in their own way to uplift each other and help humanity. That's all this is. What happened was is they got into fear, and they got into this thing called survival, and they figured, well, rather than go and do what I'm supposed to do here, I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm going to be normal and do the average thing, and then complain about that I'm not above average.
And that brings me to another point, a very interesting point. And then, by the way, I wanted to remind people that if someone wants to have the great opportunity of Jefferson working on them to address a concern that they have, they're welcome to call in. And while we wait or we continue, I'd like to point out something very, very powerful that you just said. I think when you were talking about breaking ground, we are all called to break ground in our own way, in our
yes.
unique individual way. And
yes.
that's what you're helping them to find, and we are all doing that. Now, one of the things I wanted to clarify, and I'd like you to provide your own opinion on this, is we all, before we reach the outcome, there's quite a lot of dirt and confusion and chaos in between until you break through. And I'd like you to touch a bit on that, because in the last few shows that I've had that deals with my book, Hope Rings Beyond 2012, I've been talking a lot about the chaos. Now, granted, the show is going to talk about the outcome and a lot more things as well, which is awesome. However, people oftentimes, focus on the negative when you're talking about the negative, because they want to focus on the outcome, and that should be their focus. However, they also need to be aware of the process in between. Could you talk to us a little bit about what is what comes up, what challenges come up. People don't just resolve a problem immediately. They go through turmoil. They go through chaos. They go through upheaval. They go through emotional stress. They go through fear.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're talking about the process of the ship going through the waves, so to speak?
Exactly, exactly. What you mentioned in your technique, the red ball.
Oh, right, the red, the marbles.
I like that analogy, the red marble, or the, you know, yeah. I like that analogy.
Yeah. Well, as far as the process, I mean, we can touch that. But as far as the process goes, you know, there's a process to everything, and what we're here to do as masters called human beings with major skill is to touch into the grace and elegance of how we handle things. That's really all it is. It's, yes, there's a wave there. I accept that there's a wave there, and I'm fascinated by the fact that I felt I was so amazing inside that I was going to put a wave there so that I could feel what it was like to go through it. And I'm going to collect all the data and all the experience and all the lessons and everything that goes with it so that as I come up upon waves like this, it'll just be par for the course. So I don't look at it as chaos. I look at it as, you know, the journey and the adventure of finding out. You know, it's like
That's a good point. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're all like spiritual Jacques Cousteau's, you know?
Yes. But when you're caught in the middle, it doesn't feel that way, though.
Absolutely. But once again, you can train yourself to handle any situation with grace and ease. And the interesting thing is the more graceful and the more elegant you handle the situation, the shorter the process is and the shorter the journey is. So let's say someone's facing a situation, right? And they're caught in the middle of it, and they're kicking and screaming and kicking and screaming and kicking and screaming and kicking and screaming, and weeks are going by. If they were to take the time to get in touch with themselves fully, train themselves to handle it, and handle it with grace and elegance, so to speak, the process would actually be an hour. So we prolong the process from our kicking and screaming and resistance of the process itself.
Right.
Embrace the process and look at how cool it is and go, wow, you know what's going to be amazing is how I'm going to change and where I'm going to be after I come out of this tunnel. I mean, this is really great. I'm so glad I'm in this tunnel because where I'm at after this is must be amazing. Why else would I be putting myself through this tunnel?
Yeah.
I put myself through this tunnel because I'm interested in what's going to happen when I come out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's very true. I mean, for example, someone I have a great deal of admiration for is Anthony Robinson. He says, whenever there's a challenge, he grabs a hold of that challenge because he knows from having the experience and having done it himself, he knows that once that challenge is overcome, then the outcome is always going to be extremely positive.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put that challenge in front of you.
Yeah.
See, it's the victimhood that humanity lives in is that these challenges are put in front of us. And I will continue to say to everyone I cross paths with, the challenges in front of you are the challenges you put there in order for you to grow.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for it. The challenge has your name written on it, and it found you, so to speak, and you put it right, to, you know, you put that rock to stub your toe. Find out why you put that rock to stub your toe so that you don't stub your toe anymore. It's not hard. I mean, with regards to the marble theory, you know, we talked about, you know, you got a jar of marbles. The marbles are the atoms inside of you. They're 90% purple, and there's a few yellow, and there's one red. You know, it's for you to ask yourself, what's that red marble about? Learn from that information of the energy that's inside you, and that marble will turn purple and start to uniform itself into the harmony of what you're made up of in totality.
Yes.
It's the denial that red marble is there that allows the opportunity for that red marble to continue to wreak havoc amongst all these other purple marbles.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the focus is what you were talking about earlier, and I had read this little formula for problem solving. It's a very simple formula which says focus 25% of your time on the problem and 75% of the time on the solution. And then you really can overcome it because you're not focusing on the fear, you're not focusing on the anger, you're not focusing on the stress and, you know, frustration that goes with all of that. So just look at a problem long enough or at your challenge long enough to figure out or come up with a strategy, a solution that will give the that will provide the desired result.
So, absolutely. And by being powerful entities that radiate this energy, the more you focus on what you focus on, the more it becomes stronger, right? So if you're focusing on the problem is going to become stronger and stronger and stronger, and you're going to keep validating the problem rather than turn your head over to the solution and the growth and the enlightenment and your awareness and your upliftment, and that will get you a bigger and bigger and stronger solution.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, and that goes back to, you know, the being a groundbreaker and to, you know, to break ground, you know, what all the things that, you know, I've been ostracized about or anything of that nature has all been me learning and training myself to focus on the solution.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so strong now and it's so brilliantly crafted at the hands of myself and all the beautiful people around me that have helped me along this journey. It has become so strong and brilliantly crafted that I'm actually at a highly skilled level that I can go boom right on the solution. And the solution comes in quick.
Yeah, I think, you know, also in throughout history, we've had clear examples of this kind of mentality of what these people could accomplish. We have, you know, Buddha, we have Yeshua, which we call Jesus. We've had so many so-called saints, holy people, master teachers, and so on, who have shown us what we can accomplish if we can master the most powerful tool humanity has, which is the power of the mind, the power of thought. If we can harness that power, which requires effort and work. However, it's the most worthwhile work because everything else is given once you can do that. And I know the outcome for our ascension is to accomplish a world where everybody is exactly that.
Right.
I've seen the end result, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I'm going to take it to another level, which is how I'm breaking ground.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just mastering your mind, master the energy that you are and have a say-so on what you're vibrating all the time by based on your choice on what the energy you want to radiate. And you will ultimately program and charge your brain, your system, your body, everything that's being manifested from that energy, from the fuel that is running in your car, because you've chosen it to be super unleaded, 93 octane with, you know, such and such, you know, unical, whatever it is, you will be radiating the powerful energy that you are, and your information will lay the tapestry onto the road that you're walking all the time. You won't even have to think about the thoughts. You won't have to, because the energy itself will be telling the system what to do from the core levels. So I respect that they took it as far to say master your mind, but I say master your energy fields that radiate who you are and learn how to break them down, shift them, turn them into something stronger, and you will always be walking the path that you are supposed to walk. It will do it automatically.
Yeah. Jefferson, we have a couple of more minutes left before the end of the show. Is there any other thought that you would like to leave the audience with that you feel we maybe have not touched on or we touch on very briefly and you feel it's a very important point? Is there anything else that you would like to bring into focus that we have not touched on?
Well, you know, I mean, first, without, you know, so the time doesn't run out, you know, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate the conversation and, you know, allowing what took place to take place. And as far as what I want to leave people with, it's at the core level is this. The truer you are to the original intent and design that you came here to do, the more this world will shift and raise and uplift to where it's supposed to be based on us taking responsibility for who we are. How you do that is however you want to do that. I chose to do it by getting deep and down into the nitty-gritty of what makes up Jefferson Langley on a metabolic level so that I could have a say-so on all levels. And, you know, if you are a talented person in the piano and you're spending your days, you know, slinging a hammer on a construction site, get your butt out of that and go play the piano because the world needs it for some reason because that was what you originally came to do. It's about getting everybody on their original path for what they were here to do so that this world can be what it can be.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I also appreciate the opportunity for coming to our show and sharing your wonderful work with us and to show that, you know, there are some more people out there that are doing the work that's intended to be done at this time in the planet, and this is a time for action, not, you know, bystander. I mean, we're all called to action, and we need to start doing that. There are movements in progress to help us through nonviolence, through love, compassion, to help the planet. So we're glad to have had you on the show, and we definitely would love you to come back and definitely
Absolutely.
Keep in touch. Because I think this opportunity of having this radio show is to meet wonderful people like yourself and provide more insight to our listeners about what we can do as spiritual beings and how we can all learn and share what we know and our knowledge, and we all become greater beings for it.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. So thank
okay.
you. Yeah, thank you once again. I'm happy to be a part of it and embrace how this happened. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, everyone, I look forward to hearing from you or having you listen to us again next Tuesday, and have a wonderful week. God bless you all.